this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This has been quite an interesting week. On Thursday, I actually spoke to Roland. Now, many of you will know Michael, who stood in front. Now, Michael and Roland both finished their studies with Jade and Donna and Western Niece, all the people that's just finishing. And I was just thinking about, you know, seasons. They were here for 6 years in Pretoria. And, you know, it's not like Roland comes from Natal and he's going back to Natal. But, you know, there was a specific season, a specific time that why God brought him to Pretoria. There was something that God wanted to, you know, put into him, sow into him. But also, God also had the desire to, you know, not just sow into his life, but allow him to sow into other people's lives. And I was just thinking now that he's gone, or now that, you know, so many students are leaving, did they actually accomplish in the last 6 years what God brought them to Pretoria for? Okay, now that you've got the intro, can I ask that we all stand together? I would just like to read Ecclesiastes 3 from verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what was planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep quiet, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, that Father, just firstly, Father, we've got the privilege, Father, of reading your word, Father. We've got the privilege, Father, of entering into your presence and hearing what is on your heart, hearing what is your dreams and your desires for us, Father. And now, Father, we just pray, Father, that, Father, through the next, Father, hour, that you come and speak to us, Father. That you come and show us clearly, Father, what is your desire, what is your purpose, Father. Father, this evening is not because, we're not here because we want a fellowship or we want to drink coffee or we've got nothing better to do, Father. We're here because we desire to hear your voice. We desire to enter into your presence. Father, thank you that we can be in your presence, Father, and have your will in Jesus' name. Amen. You can sit down. What is the season that you're currently in right now? You know, you get seasons that you have to sow, you have to plant, where you get nothing back. And many students, you know, you feel like you're at that point. You just constantly put in more time, more studying, less of yourself. And then some of us are actually at the point where we start to reap a bit. You know, once you get the degree, once you get the qualification, once you've proven yourself, you actually go to a job where you actually get a bit of finances back. We don't have to pay to work, but you actually get paid to work. I've got a really terrible echo. Does anybody else hear it? Is that a no or a no? No. Okay. There we can go on. Genesis 8, verse 4. Verse 8. Genesis 8, verse 28. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night time shall not cease. The earth is governed by seasons, by different times, nighttime, daytime, winter, autumn, summer, spring. And our lives are governed by the same. You know, you get a time that you are born when you can't look after yourself, when somebody has to look after yourself. Somebody has to look after you. You know, you get a time when you have to look after kids like mine. You know, they don't want to do anything for themselves. You have to look after them. And you know, spiritually, it's the same. We're all walking in a season. We all got something specific God desires from us for that specific season. You know, you can't, you know, bump your head around it, you know, bump your head against it. If it's winter, it is winter. Doesn't matter what you plant, nothing will come up. Doesn't matter how green your fingers are. And it's the same in the spiritual. You know, you need to know what is your season. If God introduced you to your neighbor and tell you, listen here, build a relationship with this guy, in a year's time, you can preach the gospel to him. What will happen if you don't listen and you immediately start preaching the gospel? Chaos. He's not going to listen. As I say, you know, in natural, there's seasons. In the spiritual, it's exactly the same. Now, we are so privileged. There's so many places where we actually get our input from. You know, you get God's direction, God's instruction from your quiet times. You know, through your quiet times, God speaks to you.
Hello.
Through Sunday services, God speaks to us. We are just, you know, we can't imagine how privileged we are. You know, Bible school, foundations, small groups. Wherever we go, we get God's input. God tells us what is his desires. You know, the last month, God was really telling us to get back to basics, get back to his word, make that a priority. But the scary thing is, we get so much information, we get so much direction, but to take that from direction actually into action, there's a huge gap. You know, many of us, we will hear God's voice, we'll understand God's voice, but for some reason, all the clutter around us, all the clutter of life, we don't get actually to walk in that which God has told us, in that direction which God has given us. Does anybody agree with me? Am I the only sinner here? So what is the season that you're in now? You know, the end of 2012, looking forward to 2013. What did God put on your path to achieve, to accomplish, to, you know, whose lives were you supposed to touch during this year? And did you actually get to do that? What is your plans for 2013? And what did God already tell you about 2013? I made the decision to not listen to 702 anymore. I was a big fan. But now I'm back to the audio Bible in the bucky, and I listen to the Bible when I travel from home. And during this week, I just happened to listen to Matthew 13. You know the parable of the sower? And then suddenly God just started speaking to me between, you know, the gap of hearing God's voice and actually, you know, the voice, the word becoming fruitful. Just telling me about how much clutter there is. So I just quickly want to tell you the story about the parable of the sower. This farmer goes around and he starts sowing seed. And as he sows seed, some of the seed that he sows falls on the road next to his field. And the bird comes and they eat up the seed. But the farmer keeps on sowing, and some of the seed that he sows falls on a stony area, you know, where the soil is really hard. And immediately the seeds spring up, but because they can't put their roots down deep, because the soil is too hard, when the sun comes up, they wither and they die. Thirdly, some of the seed falls amongst thorns, and the thorns spring up and smother the seed. And only fourth, the last one, is the seed that actually fell in good ground. These are the ones that actually spring up and they yield the crop. Some 100, some 60, and some 80-fold. I was speaking to Cleopas, the guy that looks after the cars. You know, we lost touch with all these season stuff. You know, time to sow and time to reap. But Cleopas, he comes from Zimbabwe. And there they still actually plant all the millies. All the pup they eat is actually their own millies that they plant. And they have to plant at least, he said, between 40 and 50 kilograms of seed to get enough meal for the year. He knows what it is like to actually sow seed and it doesn't come up. Or sow seed and, you know, the hell comes. Or we've got guinea fowl on the farm. And they walk in the row where you plant your millies and they'll literally just scratch out the one after the other, and then you'll have a whole row that is empty. That kind of thing ticks you off. Now, God constantly sows into our lives, but it, you know, for the amount that he sows, there's very little fruit that comes from it. And as I listened further to the audio Bible, you know, Matthew 13, when you get to verse 18 and 19, Jesus actually gives an explanation of each of the seeds and how it actually practical to us. So Matthew 13, verse 4, it actually speaks about the seed that falls on the road, the birds come and eat it up. And in Matthew 13, verse 19, he gives the explanation. He says that these are the word of God that is sown into people, but they do not understand. Then the devil comes, and he snatches away the word, and nothing comes from it. There's no fruitfulness. You know, how many times have you sat in church, and somebody's given a message, and you just feel, man, this is so cool, but when you walk out of there, you don't have a clue what was said. Or you get on Monday, and you don't have any idea how to implement it. This is why it's so important to actually, you know, get a pen, get a notepad, and when you come to church, write down what God is telling you. Many times we don't have the full understanding of what God is actually telling us. And we actually have to take that word and during the week, pray through it. During the week, meditate through it. Let it constantly be in our minds until we understand what God actually was telling us. You know, otherwise it will be like the seed that the birds just come and eat up. The word of God that's sown in our hearts, the devil just comes and steals it. It doesn't bring any fruit. It doesn't bring anything worthwhile. It just disappears. And just so that you know, when I mean meditate on the word, I'm not saying go and sit down in a weird position and hum. Biblical meditation is actually speaking it. Reminding yourself, telling people around you. You know, bore the person next to you in the cubicle next to you until, you know, he can recite the scriptures. Don't be quiet. Constantly think about it. Don't be satisfied with not understanding what God is telling you. Remember, we are people that live maybe for 80 years if we're lucky. You know, we're constrained by time, and an almighty God who is not constrained by time, who spoke and everything was created, he's communicating to us. You know, it's like me talking to an ant. There will be communication gaps. But we need to make sure that we get the information and we make the effort of getting to God and asking him, God, what did you mean? I do not understand. What are you telling me? The second one, the seed that falls among the stony ground, you know, places where the ground is really hard. It says that immediately they spring up. But when the heat comes, because they don't have deep roots, that they don't accomplish anything. They don't come to anything and they just die. Now this is when we hear the word of God, we're excited about it, we receive it with joy. But because we are not rooted in Christ, you know, we wither and we die. If you actually go and look at your Bible, it's verse 20 to 21. It says, as soon as tribulation or persecution comes, they stumble. As soon as the world puts pressure on you, once again, that word which God sowed in your heart, don't grow up, don't bear fruit. You know, if you get this revelation of, say, tithes and offerings, you know, if you get the revelation of understanding that it's not about giving the church money, but it's about actually breaking the bond that money has over you. You give your money away so that money don't rule you. You know, money is a great servant, but a bad master. If you go to your colleagues or, you know, the friends you have, you tell them, listen here, I just discovered that if you give away your money, God actually blesses you. You know, and I'm going to start tithing. And they look at you and say, are you going to give away 10% of your money? You're a student. You don't have money. You know, as soon as that tribulation comes, as soon as that problem comes, you're like, yeah, it makes sense, you know. How can I give away if I have this little? And, you know, how can I trust God for, you know. We need to be rooted in Christ. We need to be rooted in God, knowing what is his will for our lives. And when trouble comes, when, you know, your boss tells you to pay that bribe, or your friends tell you, but you can't pay tithe, you need to be rooted in Christ and tell him, well, I can, and I will show you the fruit that will come from there. There was actually a nice breeze blowing past here, but now there's nothing. Thirdly, some of the seed fell among thorns, and immediately the thorns choked them. Now, Matthew 13, verse 22 actually gives the explanation of that. Jesus tells that these are people who hear the word, But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and they are unfruitful. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. I just love that scripture. It just says, you know, if a man is engaged in warfare, he doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life so that he can please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. You know, and this is pretty much saying the same thing. We get choked by the worries, the affairs of this life, instead of focusing on that which is really important. You know, the world tells you that, you know, you have to be so much. You know, you have to spend this much time in gym, and you have to spend that much time with your friends, and you have to spend that much time with your family, and then, you know, what about the overtime so that you can actually get promoted, and what about, you know, there's just so much that just falls on you. You know, the cares of this world that literally just entangles you and drags you down. Or secondly, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, once again, the word tells you that, you know, if you get two offers of employment, which one do you take? Which one do you take? The one with the biggest salary, the biggest package. You know, as Christians, our answer should be the one that God directs us to. You know, we make our decisions based on finances. We make our decisions based on what the world tells us is important. You know, it's not about where God wants you, but it's about, you know, where I can get the most out of for myself. You know, that's why rugby players that constantly move from the one club to the other just ticks me off. I rather, you know, like the pink jerseys. You know, and the world tried to tell you, you know, you deserve this and you're worth that and, you know, you owe it to yourself and all those catchphrases. You know, trying to convince you that if you spend money on this car or if you spend money on that deodorant, you know, you'll actually buy love. Or you'll actually buy, you know, joy. Which is all just junk. Joy comes from God walking in your purpose that God created for you. It's not about having money. It's not about, you know, driving the nicest car. It just all adds up to put more pressure on you so that God's voice gets quieter and quieter and the world's voice gets louder and louder. And fourthly, the seed that falls in the good ground, they spring up and bear fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 80-fold. Now, just so that you know, this is completely unrealistic. You know, you don't put one potato seed in the ground and expect 60, 80, 100 potatoes from that. You don't plant... me and Daniel, we just planted pumpkins. And they're just like this high now. We planted tomatoes, but 3-4 weeks ago, the hail actually just killed everything. But you don't plant a tomato plant and expect to have 60, 80, 100, you know, tomatoes from that one plant. It's unrealistic. But this is what God can do. But I just want you to see there's two things. If you go to Matthew 13, verse 22, it actually speaks about this is people who hears the word and understands it. And indeed, they bear fruit. It means from the point of understanding, something happens to bear fruit. And that is action. They actually walk in what God has told them. They actually do what God has told them. Like as I said, you know, the last couple of weeks, God has been telling us to spend time in His Word. You know, raise your hands. But did you actually take that Word, make it your own, and are you now spending more time in God's Word? Are you actually making a bigger effort? Did you actually, you know, put it on your calendar? Monday mornings from 6 to 7 is God's time. Tuesday from 6 to 7 is God times. You know? Did you actually put in your diary, did the word that was preached to you make a difference in your life? Can I get an amen? Now, there's a beginning and an end to every season in our lives. And the important thing is to really know what is God's purpose for the season so that you don't move on or go on to the next season without accomplishing what God has put in the season. I was speaking to Tian on Thursday, I think, and he asked me what the sermon was all about, and I told him it was pretty much about You know, when you're in text to study, you actually study and you don't, you know, chase after your wife. Then he got a bit worried, but it is the bottom line. If you know that this is the season that God has put you here to get your degree, then that is what you focus on. If you know that this is a time of season that God has put somebody in your life to actually build a relationship and marry that person, then that is what you do. It boils down to obedience, knowing what is God's will, and walking in it. And I say every season has a purpose. Not just your own purpose, not just your own dreams, but God's purpose, God's dreams. Something that God wants to achieve, you know, let loose, change in your life. What is it for 2012? Did you accomplish what God has put in your life? You know, did God maybe in 2012 tell you that in 2013 you're going to go away somewhere and you have to be, you know, part of the church there and help the church plant? So in 2012, get yourself equipped to actually, you know, help facilitate foundations. Or maybe God told you in 2015 you're going to be part of an outreach, so do Bible school. Get yourself equipped. You know, what did God tell you for 2012? Did you do it? There's only a month and a bit left. So I just want to urge you, if you know what is God's will for your life, do it. You know, there's grace over your life to accomplish it now. If you wait, it will only get harder. And the same for 2013. Do you know, have you already asked God what is his heart for that year? What does he want you to accomplish? Where does he want you to go? What does he want you, you know, which people in your class, in your neighborhood, does he want you to touch? And how are you going to achieve it? What are you going to do about it? Galatians 4 from verse 1. Just so you get the background, this is actually Jesus they're talking about. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all to the slave, though he is master over all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. In those days, if you were a Jew, you know, there wasn't something like teenagers. You were either a child or you were a man. There was no in between. Now, when you were a child, you were just like a slave. You know, you didn't go where you wanted to go. You didn't do what you wanted to do. You were under other people's authority. You were under stewards. You were under guardians. And your father would look at you and see, if you're grown up enough to handle the authority that's over you, then when you're normally 13 roundabout, your father will have something that's called a bar mitzvah. And then the father will lift up the son, carry him through the town and say, this is my son in whom I well please. Today he is a man. He would actually get a ring. You know, not like this, but he will get a ring that will give him the authority to make decisions on behalf of the family. You know, trade on behalf of the family. Represent the family. Then he would be a man with the responsibilities of a man. But that only happens once the father sees that the son can handle it. And it is the same with us. You know, don't run ahead of God. If God is traveling at 5 km an hour, travel at 5 km an hour. Don't try to run ahead. Don't stay behind. That is the best and the only place for us to be. We just read further, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. In the fullness of time, when everyone and everything was ready to receive Christ into this world, Christ came. Not a day early, not a day late. And the same with his ministry. You know, he didn't, when he was still a child, tell his father, no, I am the son of God. You can't tell me what to do. I don't need to obey you. I can, you know, run ahead. He was obedient to his parents. He listened to his parents because they were the authority over him. And only once he got baptized, he really got released. He got baptized by John the Baptist. He really got released into his ministry. But if you ever go and read the story, Matthew 1 verse 13, we actually just read about, you know, how Joseph and Mary got this amazing gift. They were privileged enough to raise the Son of God. And you know what the first thing was they had to do? It was actually flee to Egypt. They had to run away because King Herod wanted to kill them. King Herodias wanted to kill them. Many times, even if we're in God's perfect plan, in God's perfect timing, it might not be comfortable. There are seasons that you won't like. Seasons that will not be enjoyable. You know, I was just sitting last night and just thinking about, you know, Old Testament stories. There's just so many of them. You know, Noah. God coming to Noah, who was not a shipbuilder at that time, telling him that he has to build this huge ship far from the sea. You know, it wasn't like it was on the sea. Telling him that he has to get all these animals to go inside. It was, man, this was this impossible big thing that he had to do. And then while he was doing it, he got mocked by everybody around him, telling him he's losing his mind. He was obedient to God. What would have happened if Noah decided to, you know, maybe wait a month before he started building the ship? Do a lot of night shifts or he was too late? You know, the same with Joseph. Man, his brothers sold him into slavery. He was a slave, and then when he didn't sleep with his boss's wife, he ended up in prison because of that. He went through really tough times. He went through really difficult times, but he was exactly where God wanted him. And more than that, he actually became the savior of his whole nation because he was obedient. I can only imagine when he was in prison, it wasn't felt like, you know, he's at the right place or he's doing what God told him to do. But he didn't escape and ran away. What would have happened if he would have escaped from prison? Or if he ran away as a slave? You know, who would have provided food in time of drought? Who would have told the king of Egypt that this year there's a major famine coming, you better store food now? Same with David. You know, he got anointed as king when he was still young. But then for much of his life, he had to hide in caves from the king who was sitting at the throne. The king just wanted to kill him without any real reason. You know, was that pleasurable for David? Did he enjoy that? I don't think so. James 1, from verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect will, its perfect work, that you might be perfected and completed, lacking nothing. Trying seasons are there in your life to equip you, to prepare you for what lies ahead. Last story. My sons, they've got the DVD of Daniel in the Lukeo. I love that story. Just the last bit. You know, I love the whole story, but I'm just going to share the last bit. You know, Daniel is serving a wicked king. He is in charge of the magicians and the truthsayers. And then the king brings out a decree that says, you cannot for 30 days worship any other god except me, the king. Now Daniel, you know, he can't do that. So he goes and he prays to God. They catch him out and they throw him in the lion's den because that was the punishment. And the next day, the king rushes to the lion's den, and Daniel is still alive and he worships God. Isn't that amazing that Daniel's obedience led to the ungodly king who had the biggest kingdom in that time to actually worship God? He's obedient to the point of actually being thrown to lions. The fruit of that is actually king worshiping God. Now, just quickly, four things that we can do to actually help ourselves to keep in step with what God is telling us. To help ourselves to understand where God is moving. Now, the first one is just relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm sure if I asked you, that would be all of yours answer, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Okay, nobody's smiling. Let's read 1 Chronicles 2 from verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man the things which God prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed that to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. God reveals his desire for us through his Holy Spirit. So if you want to know what 2013 holds for you, if you want to know what God's purposes are for the next season in your life, ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you. And if you want to know whether you're right or wrong, or you've got the right information or wrong information, just look. The dream that God has placed in your heart, the dream that the Holy Spirit has given you, if that is something that you can never accomplish, it's most probably from God. If that is something that you can accomplish, double check. You know, God's dreams for us are so much bigger. It says, you know, that no ear has heard, no eye has seen, nor has entered into the heart of man. You know, that which God has prepared for us is bigger than what we dream. That which God wants for us is bigger than what we can even imagine. Galatians 5 verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's not just good enough to hear from the Holy Spirit what God wants. We need to walk it out. We need to do that. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine, Ross, we went to the Rhema conference together, and we would drive all the way to Randburg, and he just told me that the previous night, they were driving back, I wasn't there the first night, and just suddenly, he just felt this urge by the Holy Spirit to pull into a petrol station. The petrol station just before you climb onto the N1. He's like, okay, he pulls into the petrol station, and now he gets out of the car and he looks, okay, is there anybody standing there that needs help, or anybody that he needs to pray with, or anybody that needs to, you know, he needs to connect with? And there's nobody. Even the petrol attendants are inside their little hockey. So he goes to the bathroom, come back, climb his car. Okay, obviously I miss God. Get back on the N1 highway and drive to Pretoria. And as soon as he gets onto the N1 highway, there is this massive accident. But like huge. There's no ambulance. There's no police. It just happened. Now Ross is convinced that if he didn't obey the Holy Spirit's prompting to park, he would have been in that accident. Now, many times we think this is this airy-fairy thing. It's actually not. It's really, really practical. When God speaks, we listen. When God tells you to do something, we obey. So that was number one. Number two, ask for God's grace to go through the season. As I said, you know, God's desire for us is so much bigger than we can imagine, than we can even achieve by ourselves. And it should be that way. The God we serve is an almighty God, and he's not limited by our dreams or by our abilities. 2 Chronicles 12, verse 9. This must be my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is a mouthful. God's grace is good enough for me. God's grace is sufficient for me. You know, my best, the thing that I'm most gifted in, if I would run in that, if I would do that, I would still be able to give my best. But as soon as God asks something from me that is my weakness, that is something that I cannot do or something that I'm bad at, you know what happens? If you come to God and you say, God, I cannot help, it opens the door for him to actually enter and that the power of Christ may rest upon you. You know, then your limit becomes Jesus' limit. You know, so in the areas that you're good at, you know, don't trust in them. But you'll only be as good as you are. But in the areas where you're weak, you know, that is the areas where you open the door, where Christ can come in and his power can be manifested. Where you can go so much. As Paul says here, I rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, just quickly, grace is not just forgiveness. But grace is a power to overcome. Now, if you ask God for his grace, you ask him for the power to overcome. Overcome your challenges, overcome your sin, overcome the stumbling blocks, overcome the fear that you have for the year that lies ahead. Doesn't matter how impossible it looks. I spoke to Roland, and he actually told me that when they actually started studying, he thought it would never end, and he thought it would be impossible to actually become a doctor. 6 years later, by God's grace, God carried them through. And now, they finished. The third one is just simply believe God. If he tells you something, believe him. I just really want to read Romans 4, from verse 19, speaking about Abram. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Who here has a big dream? It's something that God has told you, but you're almost too afraid to believe it. Anybody? It's so big that you can't think about it. You know, it's like if you're sitting on the street that God tells you you're going to one day have 20 million in the bank. Abram, who was 100 years old, God told him that he will have a son. Now, Jade, Michael, is that possible? They're shaking their heads if you can't see them. And Sarah, which was just a bit younger than him, you know, it is impossible. But Abram had faith that the God who told him that that was going to happen is a God who can also do that. And I just want to share with you the same. If God has given a dream in your heart and you know that that is from God, have the boldness to trust Him. Have the boldness to make your plans around that. Because the God we serve can. And just lastly, you know, surrender to the season. Don't fight that what God has for you. You know, if you have to study and you feel like this engineering block is just impossible, don't fight it. I see Kieran shaking his head there at the back. Architecture, eh? The God we serve are bigger. We just need to literally just to surrender, just to give the year to Him, just to give the season to Him. You know, and if you just for a second just think about the Israelites. When they came out of Egypt, they saw this massive miracle. They saw God in one wave killing the whole Egyptian army. They saw the cloud by day. They saw the cloud of fire by night. You know, wherever they go, God's presence was with them. And when they get to the promised land, they send out the 12 spies. 10 other spies come back with saying, there's giants in there. We cannot take that. Two of the spies says, no, there are giants in there, but God is bigger. And the Israelites chose to believe the 10 spies with the bad news. And their trip that shouldn't have taken them more than 40 days took them 40 years because they didn't surrender. God had to wipe that whole generation that said no and build up a generation that said, let's go. And ask that we stand. Father, we just want to thank you for this afternoon, Father, of just spending time in your presence. And Father, our hearts cry, Father, that you just to take this word that was sown, Father, and that you will come and give it life, Father. That you will come and give it life, Father, and that the seeds, Father, will actually spring up and have fruit, Father. That it will not just be a message, Father, that stays behind. It will not just be words, Father, but it will be turned into action, Father. And that action will bring glory to you, Father. Our heart's cry, Father, is really just to show us, Father, if there was anything that we missed in 2012 that is still on your heart, that we still need to achieve, Father, that you'll alert us to that, Father. And Father, that you can speak to us, Father, about the year or the season that is to come, Father, and that you show us, Father, what is your plans around that, Father? That we can, Father, literally just have a team meeting with you, Father, and get the game plan for the next season, Father. Father, so we don't need to stay an extra 2 days in the desert, Father. But we can go out and accomplish what you want for us, Father. That we will be bold enough to take the promised land despite the giants, Father. Despite the challenges and the people that say we can't, Father. But that we will be rooted in you, Father. That we will be rooted in knowing that you are able. You are able to do what you promised. If you tell Abraham he'll have a son at over 100, that he will have a son. Father, in the same for us, Father. If you've given us big dreams, Father, that we will stop looking at the challenges, Father, and start looking at you, knowing that you are the one who is able to carry us through. That you are the one who is able to pick us up and put us over the hurdles, Father. Father, that your overcoming power in our lives are big enough. That we do not need to be afraid. That we do not need to worry. We can just bank in the fact that you are God Almighty and we are your children. Father, just thank you for the amazing privilege, Father, of partnering with you, Father. Of being a soldier in your army, Father. Father, we just pray that you just also come and help us, Father, that we do not fall into the traps of this world, Father. That we do not start to look at money or status or all that other kind of stuff, Father. But we'll keep our eye on you. We'll keep focus on you, Father. That all the clutter in our heads, Father, will disappear, Father, and only your voice will be heard. Only your desire, your plans will be heard. I know there's a couple of people here tonight that God specifically wants to touch you. You've got these big dreams and you think it is impossible. You think that that is exactly what it is. It is your dreams. And God, to so many people here tonight, I just want to tell you that it is not your dreams. It is the dreams that God has placed in your heart. It is not selfish. It's God's dreams, and you need to grab onto it all you've got. That you need to lay down your own fears, that you need to lay down your own false humility in a sense. You know, you are the son of God. You are the daughter of God. Don't think that you need to be a street sweeper. Don't think that you need to be humble and, you know, be bold. If God has spoken to you tonight, this afternoon, I want you to come forward and just be genuine with God. Give the dreams to Him. Ask Him if this dream is from you, God. Have your way. Show me what is your plans. Show me what is on your agenda. It's not about me. It's not about what I think is possible. It's all about you.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.